Greetings.
Greetings.
Hank, we are talking about Martha Musics, and in Martha Musics we look at the way cell communication can be modeled by the language of music, and of course that's also the practice of music. And you just mentioned that there is this interesting technique by which a singer can treat and cure the tinnitus of people by singing into the ear,
mm-hmm.
and thereby resolving the eigenfrequencies of, let's call it, the loose resonance within the body,
mm-hmm.
To restabilize the attuning of the body within itself.
Indeed.
I'd like to ask you to describe the story in detail so that we can follow up on that and see the general principle at work.
Mm-hmm. What I have experienced, so that's not done by apparatus, but just by my experience. So when you see, so the tinnitus has most of the time one or several frequencies, and you can search for those frequencies like you sing together one note, but then this tinnitus gives one note, and then the patient is raising a hand when you hit the right note, and then you start as a singer to feel if you're really exact on it, and then you produce an amplitude that is louder than the resonance, or a little louder, just the same, and then a little louder. And then you finish it off. It's more complex than I say, but then you finish it off. And simply the tinnitus is gone for 1 second, for 10 seconds, or depending on how you did it and how it will respond. It's not a one-trick phase.
The sound just got lost.
Some people had it gone for 3 hours, up for 4 hours. Goes on the Skype.
Yeah, can you just repeat the last bit? You said that the singer can then tune into the frequency of the tinnitus,
yeah.
and then increase the volume, and thereby blocking the tinnitus frequency.
More or less facing it out, so you give the same tone back, so the body stops to produce that tone because it's made on a different way. So it says, okay, that's not economic to make it with both, it's already there, so I better stop making noise and making these frequencies, because I don't need to do that anymore because somebody else is doing this. And then the body stops with making that specific pitch.
I would incline to look at it differently, but maybe I can come back on that later on. Please continue first.
Yeah. And and after doing that, the tone stays away for 1 minute, 1 hour, and sometimes for the rest of your life. So, and that's a very nice cure. I've done it also with people who had this kind of tinnitus with all of for 10, 20 years ago. And that came from the organs. So I sang for the organs, and then the reflection on the tinnitus became less and less. And after a few months, the tinnitus was more or less a background beep, but not beep. So it was... people could bear it, so I brought it back to a bearable level, and sometimes it disappeared completely because the organ certain pitch that it needed, or to say I am in need, and when I found the right pitch for the organ, the tinnitus disappeared, and hopefully the organ did it better too, because I didn't see them back, but maybe they die. No, I'm just kidding.
Let's not make fun about that.
No.
Okay, there are many things, and you didn't get the feedback. of how long that worked.
Not proper, because when you call people back, they think that you're trying to sell a new time that they have to come by for a new singing. Now I'm just
that's
calling.
That's just a matter of how you present it. If you say I come to ask you for your feedback on the treatment, that's just a choice of words. But let me connect up, because there's a couple of points that you are referring to. One of it is just plain crude material resonance, just as you can have a truck come by and the glasses in the cupboard in the house start to sing along. Another part is where you refer to the principle which has been approached by Tomatis, that if you have the precise frequency, then you can actually do an inverted frequency damping on the system. Yeah. But you also refer to the relationship between tinnitus and organ functions.
Yeah.
And that is something I'd like to connect up to the Kundalini syndrome, as described by Itzhak Benthoff. Maybe you could pick them up and see how those connections are.
Yeah.
Or do you need further explanation?
If people are familiar with Itzhak Benthoff and the Kundalini syndrome, I don't need to have much explanation. But
okay, let me start with a brief explanation on that.
Itzhak
Benthoff was a physiologist, and he looked into the vibrations in the body and how they all interconnect and amplify each other. One of his findings was that when people sit and meditate, there is a building up of the vibrations in the body. So essentially, the body will, of course, always have its vibration, because we have the respiration, which is connected to the heartbeat, which is connected to the circulation of the blood, also to the organs, which then connects to the nutrition of the cells. When people meditate and effectively disconnect from their environment, then the body processes and the body processing is also disconnected from the environment. And as a result, you can say that the body goes into idle mode, just as a car which is standing by the roadside with the motor running, but no movement being made because the engine is out of gear. So when people meditate, they put their engine out of gear, and whatever goes on in their body is just motor vibrations within the system itself. And Itzhak Benthoff discovered that this relationship between the breathing, the heartbeat, the circulation in the body, and the cell nutrition, and thus the cell pulsation, all start to phase into each other. They become one whole system again, which of course is also what should happen when people sleep. They too disconnect from the environment, the body starts to regroup itself, starts to come back to its own base frequencies, and starts to reconnect all those frequencies onto themselves. In his research, he found that when people meditate, they then have a vibration from the gut, which is essentially the blood pulsation, which then goes into a vibration of the gut and the organs around it. So they start to share the same vibration. That vibration builds up to an oscillation of the body, in which the spinal cord starts to become involved. So the whole body starts to connect up to the same vibration. But as a result of the spinal cord and the nervous system and the hormonal system going into a shared frequency, there is also a higher pulsation at the nervous system in the electrical system, which goes from the body via the spinal cord system into the brain, and creates a very high harmonic coherent frequency field, a magnetic field around the brain, which then shifts their consciousness as a result, which they no longer have pure local knowledge, but the information in the body connects to the information outside of them.
Mm.
So that is what is then called the Kundalini syndrome, that the frequencies from the lowest end of the spectrum to the highest end of the spectrum connect in a visual form, which is something which has been confirmed by the measurements of Valerie Hunt, mm-hmm. Assisted by the psychic Rosalind Bruyere.
Mm-hmm.
They measured the effect of people being massaged by a very invasive massage technique called Rolfing. Basically, it crushes the tension in the muscles so that the tensions are released. And why that happened, the psychic Rosalind Bruyere, who also wrote the book Wheels of Light, saw that the lights in the body shifted. So in the body, basically the body as a whole functions as a kind of prism of Newton. On the bottom side we are connected to the earth, at the bottom side we are free to oscillate as we like an antenna tied into the earth but having a free hand at the other side. So when you look at those vibrations, you can say that the bottom end of the body is black, the top end is white, and then you have the whole spectrum of colors in between. So that's what Rosalind Bruyere confirmed, that from the bottom, from black to red to orange to yellow to green to blue to violet to white, you have the eight chakras, or the eight colors of the spectrum, showing the equivalent of what Itzhak Bentov described as the movement of the very slow, long waves going up to the very high electromagnetic field coherence. At that level, when there are blockages in the system, the organs cannot function fully because they will be preoccupied with something that they're still processing, which are generally life shocks, traumatic events, which are stored in the memory, which are stored in a vortex circulation within the body, like an eddy current in the river, or actually quite literally a current of a storage system in a computer. So in that way, parts of the organs can then not be free to correspond and co-respond to the changes in the other system. They will have a kind of blackout, which the psychics actually see as a blackening, a less light from that region. And Henk, you just said that there is a relationship between such blackouts in the organ system and the occurrence of tinnitus,
yeah,
which of course would be logical because and this connects up to the story of Thomas Thies. He noticed that if people have such blockages in their system, then some frequencies are locked, they cannot be used for the total processing of the system anymore, but as a result the movement which would normally go through that part of the body system needs to go somewhere else. But the frequency which would normally be operating within that body system will have to escape into a different frequency. And that seems to be what you say, that in the way that Thomas Thies found, that blockages in the system will lead to a shift in vibrations in the body, and that some frequencies will be blocked, but some frequencies will be amplified, which is, by the way, also what has been described in the five element cycle of the Chinese medical system, that all of the organs together form one loop, all of these organs together form one cycle, and each organ therein has a different part of the frequency spectrum, so that what we see as the aura of the chakra spectrum of the body ranging from black to white, we in the organ circle see as a continuous loop, or rather a spiral, in which all these colors are again combined, which is actually what is described in the organ system of the Chinese medical approach, mm-hmm. because every organ has its own frequency and thus its own color. So in that frequency system, if there is a blockage on one level, the color which would be processed at that level will need to go into a higher or a lower frequency and come back at another level. Can you connect that back to what you have found about the origin of tinnitus out of disturbances in the organ system?
Yeah, actually, it's quite simple to understand. It's the same story as you're telling of about Kundalini syndrome, but then it appears in sound. So you have this light eater, what we're talking about, and we have the sound eater. They are both doing this at work at the same time. And with the sound eater, it's even more easy to enter in those vortexes that create those disturbances, and it's audible and you can sing for it. So that's the basic of focal sound therapy, that you interact with those disturbances. But then when you work on the one end with one organ, another organ is also giving his interaction, so it's not that easy to say, okay, I do it at one point. But now the ear, we found that the ear is the nervous acousticus together with the vagal nerve. They have a very strong interaction, and it seems that the vagal nerve gives some signals to the acoustic nerve, and that's reflecting in the ear. That's one reason for tinnitus, but it's always a light tinnitus. It's not a 40 decibel tinnitus. It's 10-20 decibel tinnitus. So if it's louder than that, we're sure that's not an organic tinnitus. So the Kundalini story of the Kundalini syndrome, it's explained for quanta, for light, and if you explain it for the light eater, and if you explain it for the sound eater, it's the same.
You may need to add a bit about what is the light eater, what is the sound eater. You introduced a term, but it needs a bit of an explanation.
Yes, that's true. But I think that the explanation makes it more difficult. And okay, let's give it a try. So the light eater, that's based on light. Light is explained in quanta, in photonen. And the sound eater is based on waves.
Phonons,
on non-linear waves and on linear waves. So that to make the story complete, and it's the interaction between nonlinear and linear waves, it's disturbed, and that's why the organs are giving signals from help, help, I'm drowning, or help, help, and I'm too active, I'm getting to the moon, I want to walk on the earth. So the organ gives a signal from, okay, I have too low energy or I have too high energy, and with too high energy, it disturbs the whole thing, and with too low energy, it depletes the whole body, the whole sound eater. And
I need a bit of a switch on this, because you're describing now is mythical, of the body this and the body that.
Okay.
And in mathemusics, of course, we connect it all back to what happens at the cell level,
okay,
and what happens at the level of vibration, as we can describe it in physics and mathematics.
Yeah.
You described that there's a longitudinal wave and a lateral wave.
Yeah.
Basically, the Tesla wave and the Hertz wave, which form the quantum fabric as described in tetrionics.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, it seems as if you try to say that there can be a disruption in the coherence or the distribution of that electromagnetic field as a result of which there is this diffraction of the field leading to a shift in preponderance between the longitudinal and the lateral waves. Is that possible?
100% correct, Otto. Thanks for your more scientific explanation for the same phenomenon. That's why I said when I'm going to explain it, I will even make it more difficult scientifically to understand, but that's because I'm working from this experiential thing, and you find the simpleness of things, and then you give it a name.
Yeah. So basically, you're talking about a wave field diffraction causing to a shift between longitudinal and transverse waves.
Yeah.
And you have not addressed what causes this.
That's also very broad what it could cause. Simply said, when people are on too much stress, it can cause. When you have too little stress, so they're under activated, then they also can get it. So it's not that you say it's always too much. It can be also under stress that people are how do you say underachievement of the organs that can result in this beep from the organ tinnitus.
Okay, let me connect this up to the other part of Mathe Musics. The first part was the Mathe part of the wave diffraction. Mm-hmm. And now we go to the music part of the cell activities. So what you describe now is that the cells can be hyperactive or hypoactive, and mm-hmm. that they operate outside of the range of their competence because the field that they are in gives improper information. So the radio field which they compute the information of is driving them into an accelerated gear which causes stress, or it can overdrive them so they are actually going in knockout. They can no longer go along with this wave field acceleration, and they switch off, which makes them hypoactive. And in that sense, and in Chinese medicine in general, you can see that a lot of the stress in one organ system is the result of stress in a different organ system, because the stress, the hyperactivity in that other organ system drove the cells to hyper gear and actually made them spin out of the hyper gear. So the cell had to switch off in order to be able to survive. But that meant that cell had been overstressed and then becomes underfunctional, as a result of which other organs have to take over.
Yeah.
And that shift is what is known in Eastern medicine as the reversal of the process cycle, because mm-hmm. normally it would go from one cell to the next, but the next cell cannot participate anymore because it has been overworked, it has been overstressed. So the cell group before now needs to do a double job, and of course that can also drive it to overstress and a switch off. And these switch offs is what you seem to call the sound eater and the light eater, because basically mm-hmm. at that level these cells can no longer process the information as phonons and as photons, so that the wave field which would normally continue through these organs and would be processed by these organs, by these cells, is no longer being processed. So the cells disconnect and the field sort of races on with what it is doing. And of course this also happens at the moment that the normal ambient environmental field, which is always superimposed by the internal body field, because we live in the vibrational field of the environment, our body functions as a filter within that environment, and like a computer, it creates its internal field circulation and its internal field flow, which has been well described by Bjørn Nordenstrøm and many others, that actually in the body there is a circulation of electromagnetic fields, but there is also a closed loop circulation of electromagnetic field, which would be a stagnation. It's a local eddy of circulation, which is the same system as you use in computer storage. So in the body there are flows which are used to propagate the process, but there are also internal circulations which serve for memorization of the process. Those two fields interact with the environmental field, so the cells respond to that. But at the moment that there are localized memories, specifically traumatic memories, then they will circle around and around and around and around within a part of the body, specific for the organ, specific for the process by which we're connected into the environment. But that means that these cells are processing the universal field. They are processing the flow of the universal field into, out of, and through the body, but they're also processing again and again and again this caught loop of the traumatic experience, which has not been resolved yet. And it is that traumatic experience which actually then brings the cells into overdrive, because they need to dissolve that situation, but they cannot resolve that situation. And that then works as a hyper-excitation force for those cells, as a result of which they can be brought to a tipping point. Any other information from the environment or any other surges of input into the body will just be too much for the cells, and they switch off, causing these blackouts, as I called them before, or the sound eater and light eater, as you appropriately called them in your description. And then, of course, that, as you described, that goes two ways. One of them, you will still have the pure electrical field going through the body, then needing to be processed in a different part of the body, which otherwise would not be dealing with this. And that would be one of the reasons of the tinnitus, that the ear, which of course is a set of cilia, which are tuning forks, sensitive to vibrations, they suddenly capture these vibrations and respond to them. Or, on the other hand, in the electromagnetic circuit, the electric flows of the radio field are captured into the body and processed by the body in the form of the neuronal system, which is the more specific instance of the electromagnetic physiology, which Bjorn Nordenstrom described, which Itzhak Bentov researched, which Valerie Hunt measured, which Herbert von Froelich explained, which Cyril Smith demonstrated, and so on. Yes, there is this pure flow of information in the body, which we could call the software, but there is also the information of the radio field channeled into the flows of the body, as Björn Nordenstrom described, and what we then find as the electricity, the electrical flow and the electrical currents in the nervous system, and the hormonal system is part of that. So that is the other part of what causes the tinnitus, that in the nervous system there is suddenly a surge of activity, of course electrical activity, and then that can cross bleed from the vagus nerve into the acoustic nerve, but it could likewise go into other nerves and then cause tremors or organ activities or functional changes in the body, because we do need to understand, and that's the essence also of mathemusics, that once we better understand this electrical system in the body and how the cells work with that and how the cells work it, then we can also see how that electrical system, which in mathemusics we would call the music, then changes how the musical instruments, the cells and the organs, resonate, and that of course determines the activity or the distorted activity of the cells, which we would call health or disease. And by what you just brought up with this tinnitus, you've actually deepened the capacity to describe that in much greater detail, which we have now come to in this exposé. But there is something else that you addressed in the this singing onto the body to interact with the tinnitus, for which we now have two forms. One of the physical vibration of the body, and the other is the electrical activity of the neuronal system. You've connected that to these blind spot or these blackouts, the sound eaters and the light eaters, as the cause for the surge in the local activity around the acoustic system of the ear or within the sensory system of the ear. But you also said there is something of the interaction of the singer with the tinnitus, in which the singer has to tune into the frequency of the tinnitus.
Yeah.
And there's a connection to that which was found by an opera singer who was invited into the opening of the railway station of Milan. I forgot who described it, but the story goes that the architect was there, everybody was being showed around, the opera singer was part of the group, and at some point she said, hang on a moment please, and she started to sing, but she started to tune into the vibration of the opera building, and as you said, the longitudinal waves and the transverse waves, so she had the resonance in the all the directions, and then she shifted the tones, apparently according to this description, so that she got into the standing wave of that building.
Yeah.
And I once witnessed that when the Hilliard Ensemble was in Maastricht in the church, and the organ player actually did that kind of playing with the organ so that he could shift the notes so that they actually went to build a spiral which focused in the center of the building, and you could actually hear the standing wave to come together to a pulsating wave at the core. So I have a very good understanding of what this singer did in that building. Mm-hmm. And so she resonated it, she sought out the eigenfrequency, she retuned it, and so when she was finished she said, okay, now it is okay. Because she had heard that there was something still resonating or oscillating or like an other frequency superimposed on what was going on.
Yeah, out of tune with the vortex of the building. Yeah.
And that seems to be what you describe for the tinnitus. So could you describe a bit better, more deeper, extensively, what happens when the singer interacts with that tinnitus?
I hope you can have some scientific words for it, but I will do it in my words. So you tune in, so you get the same frequency, the eigenfrequency from the trauma, let's call it that way. Then the trauma doesn't need to exist. So then you listen what is needed instead of what is the body and the mind and the spirit producing. So and then by this institution of love and light, that's the way you work, you put this blessing, or blessing is maybe a wrong intention, let's call it, but the intention is to bless, because if you are too invasive it doesn't work. And
but the blessing is widening the frequency, opening the spectrum, extending the range, making it possible to connect.
Make it possible to connect.
Dissolving the limitations.
Dissolving the limitations, and then when doing so, you hear the overtones and the undertones becoming clearer, and then you support the over and undertones with your vocal with your vocal cords, and you try to overpower the spirit of trauma, just a little, just 1%.
Hank, you need to go back a bit, because it is the patient that comes in who hears the tinnitus.
Yeah.
From outside, you do not hear that. So there must be an interplay between the patient hearing the tinnitus on the inside and the singer making the tone on the outside. So there must be a communication with the patient saying, you need to go up a bit, you need to go down a bit, something like that, for the attunement.
But by hand movement, but it's more or less the singer knows intuitively what's wrong, if you're skilled in this kind of focal sound therapy. But then the person...
Let me split that out a bit, because you're doing something very profound here, which goes to what people call connect telepathy. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, all of the cells communicate by electromagnetic fields, like a mobile telephone. They can connect to other mobile telephones somewhere else. So it is not surprising that we have telepathy, because cells communicate and they share the same electromagnetic field. But they also pulsate not just at the photon level, but also at the phonon level. So mm-hmm. there are also sound waves, which the bodies can see, can perceive. So there is a possibility of cross-resonance from one body system to the other, from the radio field and the light field to the sound field, and even for the laying on of hands, healers, by the physical vibrational field. We can sense all that. Doctors ignore that because they don't understand the physics and the metaphysics of the physics enough. They don't see that it's all vibrational fields. Operating from the physical to the chemical to the electromagnetic to the quantum field. But in a body, it just happens that that's how it works. So once you realize that, it's not surprising that we have telepathy, and it's not surprising that the sound waves can be felt from one to the other. And you now indicate that the singer, and you two do that, can use the signal of the patient who says that you need to go up and down a bit with the frequency to tune into the tinnitus frequency that the patient hears. But mm-hmm. you said that once you get closer to it, you can actually recognize in your body that that frequency is operative.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to describe some of that, because this is the part that all people ignore. They do not describe, and this is the essence of mathemusics, that within your body, you can feel what happens in the body of the other because you go into resonant entrainment.
Yeah. And that's why you have to feel the spirit of trauma from that specific tinnitus as soon as you felt it, because the spirit of trauma is not felt by the patient. So you are one step ahead of the patient. And you feel the spirit of trauma. That's not a nice feeling, but then you know, I got him. And then most of the time, they raise their thumb and say, yeah, you got him. And then you start to give it a little bit more love and light, because the spirit of trauma doesn't like that, because it's a fear-based program. And then you give it a little tilt with love and this divine prosperity or whatever you make of it according to your belief system, and then it shifts and your and then if you've done it well, it disappears in one time forever. If you're less lucky, you have to repeat it 10 times, and you have to learn it the client himself to do it for himself, so that he can restore when the damage reappears. So they can do it as a do-it-yourself program.
Okay, this is where we need a bit of a translation, because we are doing mathemusics, mm-hmm. and the warm and fuzzy language, as some people would say, of bliss and the spirit of the trauma is needs a bit of a translation, mm-hmm, because the terms are actually very accurate. But it is necessary to understand what they refer to.
Yeah.
Let me just try to sort them out step by step. The spirit of the trauma is basically the local locked field of the loop circulation of a memory, which is the stored memory of an experience in the environment. As a result of that memory being stored, the cells are busy maintaining that loop. And so the spirit of the trauma is actually the memory loop, which in traditional terminology would be called purgatory, because purgatory is where you have the boundary of hell, and hell is the closed system. So in the Freudian terminology, if you have a traumatic experience which you cannot digest, you need to somehow store it in the body in a place where hopefully later you can find it, and hopefully later you can find a cure for it so that you can digest it. But until that time, it is stored in a closed loop, which is called hell. In order to be able to have it in that closed loop, you need to have a bounding circuit around it. You need to have a separation between that internal memory loop, as the Freudian terminology has it, the suppression or the repression, because that memory must not interfere with the other processes of the body. So there is a boundary put around that. So that seal is known as the fiery gate of purgatory, because that seal on the one hand needs to isolate this memory, but on the other side it needs to connect up to the body, so it needs to dynamically interface, which means it needs to oscillate. It is like you would have a computer CPU to put things in the memory and taking it back out. So that interface operates as a computing process. So purgatory is an interesting way to describe that. But a better way to understand it is that there is a limit on that storage which you can feel. And that you very appropriately describe, that when you sing into the frequency of the tinnitus, you also connect up to the system that is behind it, which you then called, you can feel the spirit of the trauma, because the tinnitus is like the handle, it is part of the purgatory system, it is part of that closing off vibrational field, which tries to keep the trauma locked up. But of course, if you start to shake the handle of that field, you will connect up to what is connected up behind it. You rattle the cage and the animal inside will start to roar. So it is very precise what you describe here, because as a singer, you would work with the body as a whole, but in this case you know that there is a critical, crucial frequency within the body which is actually sensed by the individual as a tinnitus. Actually, there are many of these kind of frequencies which people do not know, as a result of which they are not found out, as a result of which they actually cause long-lasting damage within the body, because these stored traumatic memory fields cannot be found so easily and can be restored so easily. But what you describe, Hank, is that once you go into the tinnitus, you can see that the tinnitus is connected to a calibration frequency which keeps a memory locked up in the body. But that makes it possible for you to go into the frequency of the tinnitus, find the higher and the lower harmonics, by which you can see that this is not a normal frequency, but that is a frequency damping and a frequency squeezing, which indicates that there is another field associated with it. And that is where you can then jump. In music, you would say you would jump into the other tone system. So that you can actually jump into the locked off sector, which you call the spirit of the trauma, and you then use the terminology of the intent of bliss, which basically means that you know the locking frequency of the trauma, because that was connected to the tinnitus, and as I said, there are many other memory systems which can be locked in by a specific characteristic frequency in the same way, and tomatis, found a method to actually interact with them, detect them, and to interplay with them. You said that once you have that frequency, you can find that dark oscillator connected up to that. When you use the terminology of the bliss, actually in physics you would say you expand the spectrum of the critical frequency, so you explore different frequencies by which you can go into that interface, as a result of which you can unlock that interface. And the interface is defined in the same way as in atomic physics. The one electron orbit is separate from the other electron orbit in the conventional model. And this is described by de Broglie as the one orbit has one wavelength more or less than the orbit next to it. Mm-hmm. But that is possible because in the interspace between the two orbits, which have one wavelength difference, when you go out of the wavelength, you go up half a wave, but the other goes down half a wave. But these half-wave interspaces, they cancel out. So in atomic physics, you would say, well, that's where you do not find electrons. And in the frequency model, you would say, well, that's where you have the cancellation field. So you will have the pure frequencies in the de Broglie orbits, but you have the cancellation fields or the dampening fields or the darking out field or the blocking fields in the level in between, where you have the wavelength plus a half and the wavelength minus a half between two consecutive orbits. And what you do when you do the bliss, you actually shift the plus and a half and minus a half, which is actually an operation taking place at the crossing point of a wave node in a light wave. Einstein described the waves, and so he looked at the wave coherence and described his model on the basis of that. But Max Planck looked at the crossing point of the waves and what happens when you go from one side of the crossing point to the other. And that is actually the quantum flip, or the phase change from the one wave into the next wave. And that is what you now described, as that with the singing you can go into that, you can retune that quantum interface, so you can reposition the quantum leap. And that means that you can literally reposition the boundary, and that means you can actually unlock the traumatic event. So you can input into the system that change of frequencies by which you can digest that cluster of traumatic experience which got locked into the body, so you can deflate that abscess. It's an electromagnetic, it's a memory abscess in the body. It's a memory which got stored in the electromagnetic field. And you provided the frequencies, and in this case specifically the sound frequencies, by which you can retune it. So the circulation is retuned into a spiral, which can then be reintegrated into the body, processed, digested, eliminated, and learned from. So this is very powerful description what you have, but I think we might need to round it off, because you said that you have limited time for today.
Indeed.
But I'd like to ask you to round it off, because what you have raised with this singing into the tinnitus, we have now put at a much deeper level as the digestion of locked memories within the body, mm-hmm. and how using the connection between the photons and the phonons within tetralogical called the Apollo constant, the singer can actually operate at the electromagnetic level and resolve and heal the trauma. That, I think, is a very fundamental finding and precisely the purpose of Mathemusics.
Yeah. And to round it off, so this is one way. So if you go from this Kundalini syndrome and describing tinnitus, and then you have this very, very specific organic things that are blood vessels laying near to the nerve acoustics or near to the bone structure of the hearing our hearing our ear. And so, and there are also tinnitus that exists because people got too much loud frequencies in one area and they didn't get deaf, but they got tinnitus back for it. So it's still a very strange phenomenon so you have to decipher all those different opportunities, and the blood vessel you can't cure in that way, so you have to find another way to do that, or you can operate it. That's a lucky thing if they're able to get there. And the other structure from the loudness, that's another thing I didn't figure out how you can resolve this high peeps that exist that are a remain of exposure to very loud noises. Instead of getting deaf, you have the rest of your life beep from this frequency on this pitch. So these are different parts of it, and I don't think that one size fits all, but for sure the connectivity between the organs and the tinnitus, that's a clear thing, and that's a thing that I can sometimes resolve in a positive way, and if I can't resolve it, I can train people to do it themselves, so that they don't have to go to me, but just sing it for themselves to cure them.
This is wonderful, Hank.
And that's what I call the singing cure, to give it a name. So you can find Singing Cure on Facebook and that kind of stuff. So that's the point that I'm working from, and that's also how the brain responds to it, and it's phenomenous, and you cannot only use it for tinnitus but also for other illnesses. But we don't know the outcome of the results. Are not predictable.
Hank, next time I would like to go into this deeper, because what you've addressed in part is basically the fragmentation of vibrational frequency fields, and how in the body you can actually have the body fragmenting as a result of these kind of dynamics, in the same way that you can use sound to shatter kidney stones.
Yeah.
So sounds can also damage the structure, the integral structure of the body. And that means that there are like fractures in the sound system, fractures in the vibrational system. And once you know that, you can see if they're at the electrical level, if they're at the cell communication level, if they're in the chemistry, or if they're in the physics. But the cure of it is always the same, as described by Tom Matthies. You need to find the frequency break, and then you need to find the bonding frequency by which you can restore it. And at that level, we are dealing with alchemy, because that's where we then are dealing with the relationship between the photon leap, the electron leap, the electron oscillation, and the electron bonding, which is actually what the cells use to connect the information field to the radio field in the body, to body chemistry, to the body physics. We call that consciousness, regulatory system, physiology, and anatomy. But that will be for the next time. Hank, thank you very much for bringing up this topic. And thank you for letting me do some of the translations into, say, the vibrational physics, by which we can see that the warm and fuzzy language actually is a transliteration of something which is very precise and very specific. But you need to understand that when you describe it in what you feel as a therapist, is very different from what you can describe as a physicist.
And a scientist, yeah.
And of course, we can only get it to work if we do it. So we do need to understand how the experiential language correlates to the descriptive language.
Yeah.
So I'd like to continue that next time. We'll round off the recording for now. I'll just briefly come back to you to evaluate, and then we continue this the next session. Thank you very much, Hank.